Hello, my name is Lawrence Wilson. Welcome back to a video study through the book of Hebrews. We are in chapter 4, towards the end of the chapter. We've been talking about the rest of God, entering into God's rest by faith. And we come in this week's video to verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. This verse again is a reference to the Hebrews in the Old Testament who refused to enter the promised land. Their unbelief led to their disobedience, and so they did not enter into the rest of God, the rest that God had for them, the promised land. So Paul, or the author of Hebrews rather, possibly Paul, the author of Hebrews is encouraging these Hebrew believers now in the first century to continue in their faith in Jesus, that they should be looking to enter into God's spiritual rest. He says, for verse 12, for the word of God is living and active. In describing the scripture, the word of God that we have is not like any other book. It is living in that it was delivered by God through the Holy Spirit, who is alive in us, who is alive in the hearts of the authors, but in that it moves in our hearts, right? It has the ability to minister to people in different ways. Though the words of the text do not change in that sense, it is living. It is a living word. And it is an active word. Not all things that are alive are active, right? If you look at a turtle, turtles are living creatures, but we wouldn't describe them as being active. No, God's work is active. It is at work in the lives of those who read and study it. It is at work in the hearts of those who preach it and hear it. So God's word is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Of course, the two-edged sword analogy for us in the 21st century falls a little bit flat because people don't walk around with swords so much anymore. But the two-edged sword was the most powerful weapon in the Roman soldier's arsenal. It was a formidable weapon of the time, extremely powerful. And so what the author here is trying to convey is that through God's word, we are able to receive, you know, a word that is living, that is active, that is powerful to make an impact. How powerful? Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So what's going on here in this comparison of the word of God to a sword, right? Swords, you know, split things. They cut through things. So he says the word of God is so powerful, it can cut through soul and spirit, joints and marrow, thoughts and intentions of the heart. Really what we see happening here, if you think about it, where does soul end and spirit begin? Right, amongst theologians, there's a debate about whether human beings are a dichotomy or a trichotomy. You'll hear them use those terms to say, you know, what are all the components that make up a human being? Right, so there's some that say there's only two components. There's the physical and the non-physical component of human beings that God created in us. Where that physical component, obviously the body, and the non-physical component could be either the soul or the spirit, but they say, you know, these are two terms for the same thing. Well, then there's others that think, you know, there's three parts because soul and spirit are different things, right? Soul is the immaterial part of us that we use to relate to others. Spirit is the immaterial part of us that we use to relate to God. But I don't think this passage is really trying to help us solve that debate. This passage is pointing out a very obvious thing. When you look at soul and spirit, joints and marrow, right? Bone marrow is part of your bones. Joints are what connects bones together. And then we see also thoughts and intentions of the heart. All three of these things are groups of things that, in our, at least for our finite human minds, seem to be references to the same thing. We don't really see that there's a difference, right? Especially not, you know, joints and marrow, especially not for the first century people that didn't have all the medical knowledge that we have today. The author here is pointing out these things and saying, the Word of God is so powerful, it can divide things, it can split through things that seemingly cannot be divided, that seemingly cannot be split. It is able to help one discern very minute details to come to the truth. And so we see we have a word that is living, active, and powerful. So powerful that it can be used to determine the difference between things that otherwise would look like the exact same thing. And ultimately, verse 13 tells us, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. What does God's word have to do with everything that's been said recently in this chapter and in the last chapter about looking to enter into God's rest? It was the word of God that was rejected by the ancient Hebrews. It was the word of God that these first century Hebrew Christians were considering turning their back on because of the persecution that they were enduring. It is the word of God today that we in the 21st century have a tendency to doubt, have a tendency to look at our culture and say, you know, the different issues that the Bible addresses, is it relevant? Should we be using this still? And the author of this book of Hebrews is once again encouraging the readers to be careful. Because if you remember in our last few videos, if these Hebrew Christians refused to listen, they had unbelief in their hearts about the word of God. What's going to happen to us if we do the same thing? Do we think that we're better than them? No. So we are given this same warning, this same encouragement. Look at how powerful God's word is. It's moving. It's working in hearts. Do not put it to the side. Do not harden your hearts, as we saw in earlier in chapter 4. Do not harden your hearts, or, you know, stop listening or refuse to absorb the truths of what is in the scripture. God's word has the power to transform your life if you will listen. It has the power to make your heart alive again. Right? The problem is, we often don't listen. We think we already know the truth. But it is God's word that contains the truth. And God himself, with whom we must give account, as the scripture says here. Everything is exposed. God knows what's in your heart. And when we look at the scripture, it shows us what is in our heart. Let's respond the appropriate way, which is faith, full commitment to Christ, without wavering, without doubting. Let's hold on in confidence to our commitment to Jesus Christ, in spite of what's happening, in spite of what anybody else might say. That is what this author of Hebrews is trying to convey to his readers. It's what God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to convey to us today through his living and active word. I hope and pray that something said here today ministered to your heart that you share it with everyone you come into contact with. Thank you, and God bless.